Grace to you and welcome to the DDP for the 27th of January. This is a Monday. I'm hoping you have a great week in front of you, that you had a fantastic weekend, that you were able to rest a little bit if you had to work. I pray that you have found space or will find space this week to find your rest. Hopefully, most people use the weekends to fellowship with the other believers, so I hope that was a fantastic experience. And I'm praying for you. We pray for you as we have been preparing the tax receipts for 2019. Everyone who gave into the ministry receives a tax receipt. Those go out. They started going out last week. We should have them all out by about now. And they also include our Happy New Year's card from our family with pictures of my wife and I and our kids, and then some sort of action shots, my daughter in one of her plays, my son on the mound, just sort of our little gift to you. And as we stuff the envelopes, this is a mom and pop operation. My wife and I take care of this, and as we sign the letters and then stuff the envelopes and address them and all that, we say a prayer over each person. We call your name and your place out. We believe God for favor in your life, trusting that you are at rest in who He is. And so we have been praying for all of you. It's sort of a month of concentrating on those partners and donors and friends. And it has been a refreshing month for me to do exactly that. We closed 1 Corinthians 15 yesterday. It is, but I don't think I'm quite done. There's at least one sentence I want to tack on. Let's read the verse. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I have a Bible that I use 99% of the time. I mean, I've got a lot of Bibles, and I've got a lot of different translations so that I can run over and see what they say. However, I'm like a lot of you. I utilize technology, so I use a Bible app that has pretty much every translation ever printed, and so I'm one click away on a screen from seeing what that verse looks like in the ESV or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't necessarily go grab my hard copy of all the other translations, which means that if I'm going to grab a hard copy, it's probably the Bible I preach out of. I read out of it, I preach out of it, I take notes in it. It's falling apart. It is, and it's just because I've used it so much. It was a decent quality Bible, but now it's just, there's not much of it left. It's just flimsy. But I don't get rid of it because I know where everything is, and I wrote notes after note after note after note to myself. After I finished a podcast yesterday, I looked at the page. I had not even really paid attention to my scribblings because they're all over the place. And I went back through and read a scribbling I had put at the top of the page, and I don't know when, a long time ago, I had underlined the last phrase from 58, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And out to the side, I wrote 1558, and here's what I wrote. Not sure what this implies other than, quote, don't worry, God knows, end quote. And I don't remember writing that. I don't remember when I was reading 1 Corinthians and had that thought, but it sounds like something I would say, which is, what does Paul mean, your labor's not in vain in the Lord? Like, what's the implications of that? And I just must have wrote down right in that moment what I was thinking, which was, I don't really know exactly what this means, but I think it means, don't worry, God knows what you're doing. And I feel like whenever I wrote that, I haven't developed anything greater than that. And that is that I don't really know exactly what Paul means when he says, your labor's not in vain in the Lord. I think he could mean that you're planting seeds, and so don't worry if you don't see the final product, because sometimes that's how it goes. You plant a tree, but you may not live long enough to see the fruit on it. You might be telling other people about Christ and about liberty, and it seems like they're not paying attention. and then they get it. And then maybe it's not only spiritual labor, because contextually it's keep moving forward in a world in which you it's very difficult for you. They're in the end of the old covenant economy. We can't even really understand what that would have been like to have a Jewish background at the end of a Mosaic system that's passing away, and trying to divorce yourself from it and commit yourself totally into this quote unquote new age, which is the new covenant. And trying to be steadfast and immovable and abound. And he goes, don't worry, your labor's not in vain. And maybe they needed it even more than we need it, but it's quite possible that we need to pay attention to that phrase, that maybe you're doing something in your walk and you're getting discouraged and you're thinking it's not doing any good. Continue to move forward. There was one other thing that as I was going through my notes, I had in my notes a quote from a New Testament scholar named Marcus Borg. He died a few years ago, just 4 or 5 years ago. And he made a statement, and I had wrote it down, that I thought kind of sums up as well as anything I could say, or, well, better than anything I could say, that's for sure. It sums up my thoughts on this whole 1 Corinthians 15, even though I don't know that Mr. Borg was referencing 1 Corinthians 15. He was talking about the afterlife. And I thought this would be a good quote to really cap off 1 Corinthians 15, and then we'll read a couple verses from 16. Marcus Borg, I am confident that the one who has buoyed us up in life will also buoy us up through death. We die into God. What more that means, I do not know, but that is all I need to know. I like that. That's kind of the way I say things sometimes too, which is I don't know much and I don't know more than this, but this might be enough. And I agree with him. In my own words, I would say the one who keeps us in life is the one who keeps us in death. I don't know what that looks like. In fact, I've said that very phrase and before I'd ever even read that quote. I don't know what it looks like, but I know we're going to be okay because he's got us. 1 Corinthians 16:1, concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I'll send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they'll go with me. This is an offering text. It doesn't have a lot of detail. He references Corinth to Galatia. This is an indication that the Galatians letter might have been written after the Corinthians letter. We don't know for sure. Paul could have addressed the churches at Galatia separate from writing the letter that we call the letter to the Galatians, and we're not positive about that. When you get into 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you're going to get the more detailed examination of Paul's theories on giving. And so I'll save that for 2 Corinthians 8 because that's on down the road a little ways when we get into the next book. But I think it'd be good. Well, first of all, that first day of the week comment is repeated in the book of Acts, chapter 20, when Paul comes on the first day of the week to preach to the saints. That's that famous moment where he preaches till midnight and the guy falls out the window and dies. That happens on the first day of the week. Typically, the church was meeting on the first day of the week to separate themselves from seventh day of the week Judaism. So they would celebrate resurrection as a first day of the week celebration. There's not a law in the New Covenant that says you got to celebrate on Sunday, but that was the day that they were observing. Paul doesn't want offerings when he comes in, but he'd rather them lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. In other words, out of your prosperity, store up what you can. There's not an obligatory gift here. There's not a compulsory gift here. It's a gift that comes from the place of your heart. Tomorrow, we'll look at what he does say to the Galatians in regards to giving, and then we'll move on into chapter 16. See you then. God bless.